Welcome everybody to the start.
Woo-hoo.
David,
something to say? It is the start. Like you said, well, I Chad, why can't you do anything right?
Welcome to the start of the 2019-2020 season with our first preseason podcast here at Hoops HD. Woo-hoo. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, over here. Right below me, we got Joby Fortson, we got David Griggs, we got John Stalica, and we are here to discuss what Joby is showing us. We're going to spend the next 7 hours discussing Virginia basketball, correct?
Oh, the moments were much quicker than 7 hours, Chad. So.
This is our ace.
I guess all you need is 12 seconds, as Virginia showed in their final three games.
Pretty much. This is our ACC preview podcast, the first of about 8 or 10 preseason shows we're going to be recording. We are recording this, just by way of information, on the evening of October 14th, in case some crazy news happens between now and when you're watching this. But maybe we should get right into the ACC, David. Is that what we should do?
I mean, it's the ACC preview. We could discuss the ACC, but if you want to, we can discuss another league.
All right.
The Big East, Big 12.
We're discussing Memphis basketball. No, we are discussing the ACC, and why don't we start off where we kind of hinted to already, Joby, the defending national champions. They had a pretty good season last year after a pretty lousy postseason the year before. The Virginia Cavaliers, defending national champions, and this is our previous show, though, so what about trying to defend that title?
Yeah, no, amazing that, you know, as you hit, Chad, pass this prologue, because I truly believe without UMBC, there is no national title. But with a national title, how does Virginia respond? I think pretty solidly. I think looking at what Villanova was last year is not a bad guide. I think Virginia could do a little better. But it's not going to be, you lose Ty Jerome, you lose Kyle Guy, you lose Andre Hunter. The one piece that, though, they did not lose is Mamadi Diakite. I think he will be a first-team All-ACC selection this year. By all accounts, his range, yeah, he already had decent range, just didn't have to use it when you have Ty Jerome, Hunter, and Guy. I mean, you don't need to shoot from the outside. You're going to see him turn into a true NBA prospect. Right before your eyes, his defense, he was already all ACC defense level. He will be a very key component. I think the very key component, though, that will determine if Virginia is protected seed or even better will be the guard opposite Kihei Clark. Kihei Clark is still only five and change on height. You're going to need another player who can probably shoot. Will it be Morsell, the freshman, or will it be Walden Tazey, the All-American JUCO player who's coming in? One of those two has to step up, relieve Diakite's inside presence, and Jay Huff working in between outside and inside. If you have that piece working, I think Virginia will be solidly in the tournament, like I said, right around that four seed range. And I'm pretty hopeful that that is indeed going to happen.
Well, David, let me ask you about this team here. Are they good enough to make the tournament? I think, I don't know that there's going to be much debate about that, but are they good enough to compete for an ACC title?
Yes. The reason is, like, it just seems to me, and most people probably don't realize this, that Virginia always finishes way better or a lot better than what people are expecting them to do. I think they've won more 29 games or more for the last 5 years, and it's not like that they haven't had roster overturns. I'm not going to say that they're my pick to win the title, but don't ever count out a team coached by Tony Bennett. The one thing about UMBC is that I think that it left an impression about this club that's false. No one remembers just how good Virginia was that year up until that point. They were even better last year. I would almost be shocked if they're not a protected seed this year, at the very least. And, yeah, they can contend for an ACC title. How many times have they contended for it when we weren't expecting them to do it in the past? Of course they can.
Yeah, and Stalica, I think you made a great point there. This is the Tony Bennett system, and this system gets you a lot of wins, does it not?
it gets you a lot of wins, and it also helps by the same token. The ACC isn't going to be as lethal top to bottom as it was last year.
Well, the bottom is pretty lethal. It's
lethal. And that's an excellent point, John. If you look at Virginia's schedule, I know you're the schedule guy, but Virginia has home and homes with UNC, Syracuse, and Louisville. That's tough, you know. But who are the solo road games? The solo road games are Georgia Tech, Pitt, Wake, and Miami. That's not a murderer's row, whereas the one-offs at home include Duke, Clemson, who's not going to be very good, but Duke Clemson. State and Notre Dame.
And the other wild card.
You know, it's very unbalanced to have your home games, your difficult games at home as opposed to on the road. And Virginia should sweep all four of those road games that I mentioned.
Wow.
And the other wild card this year is you're going to have two of those ACC games before January starts.
Yeah, and the season opens at Syracuse, so that could be very tough for a team in transition like Virginia. I'm not going to say Virginia could easily start the year at 0-1 in the conference. Not that they can't come back and win it, but 0-1 is not an unrealistic thing. In the Carrier Dome is a tough place for a team in transition to start a season.
Joby, who are those solo road games?
Solo road games are Georgia Tech.
Uh-huh.
Pitt.
Yes.
Danny Manning's Wake.
Yes.
And then a reasonable Miami team who I still think finishes in the bottom half of the conference.
I mean, if you were to take an all-star team of those four teams, they still wouldn't make the
NFL. Yeah, Chris likes and about that, and that's about it.
Yeah.
We'll get to those teams here in a minute here. But David, let me bring you back in here on the question, though. We discussed Virginia's chances, but who do you think is going to be the top team in the ACC this year, if not Virginia?
Okay, my pick is not who the media went with. My pick, believe it or not, is Louisville. And let me tell you why. I just think that when you look at Chris Mack, what he did last year at Louisville, but again, what he did in previous years at Xavier and how many times the end of the year finished higher than where they were at the beginning of the year. I think people look back at Louisville last year and they remember them losing big games, blowing the lead against Duke, multiple games where they had a chance to win and didn't. But what no one remembers was that nobody really had them going past the NIT, and they landed in the top half of the bracket and were a couple of wins away from contending for a protected seed. For a while, we were forecasting them at that. They're bringing back the key pieces, and they're adding way more to it. So when you look at what their ceiling is and the history that Chris Mack has of meeting or exceeding all expectations, I just think they're going to be really, really good. Duke was the preseason favorite. I mean, nothing outrageous about that. They lose a lot of talent, but they replace it with a lot of talent like they typically do. So I'm not saying it wouldn't shock me if someone other than Louisville won it, but I really like this Louisville team. They're probably going to start off ranked in the top 10, and I think they might even be better than that.
Well, you bring up a good point, Puppet, because last year they started off on fire, but towards the end of the season they were tailing off much like Marquette did in the Big East. In fact, Louisville also struggled like hell just to beat Clemson at home, and by the time we got to the NCAA tournament, was anyone really surprised that they lost in the first round to Minnesota?
No.
And listen to what Louisville's doing. I think your point is excellent, David. Yeah, Wara is going to be the preseason projection, along with someone like Trey Jones, to be ACC Player of the Year. I mean,
Jordan Nwora, yes. Great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Huge. Go ahead, but it's also the new guys. I mean, Samuel Williamson is – he's in line to be maybe Freshman of the Year, along with Cole Anthony at North Carolina. I mean, he's going to be averaging double digits, I think, very easily. And then the unspoken one is they needed good point guard play, and I think Fresh Kemble is going to be able to do that. The transfers from St. Joe's, who averaged around 15 points. If Chris Mack, who has proven his abilities in the past, can marry the returning with the new, et cetera, this team, I do agree, is – my pick to win the conference.
Oh, wow. I thought I was going solo on that one.
No, David, you've actually got at least three of us here on board with this Louisville pick. I love it as well, especially when you look at the other guys like Duke and North Carolina who, once again, are a little unproven. And Sleeka, let me bring in there. You mentioned Jordan Nwora, maybe the best player in the ACC. Or is it maybe Trey Jones over at Duke?
Well, Trey Jones is going to be one possibility. You also have some other talented freshmen, Wendell Moore Jr., Vernon Carey Jr., Cassius Stanley, maybe not ACC Player of the Year caliber, but they'll certainly give Duke another core that they can build around this year.
But again, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you look at who they're going to be playing early on in the year, it's going to be a typical Duke schedule where they open the season against Kansas as part of the ESPN Tip-Off Classic. They'll also have the 2K Empire Classic where they'll play Cal and either – Georgetown or Texas.
Cal and Classic should not be allowed in the same sentence, but we will discuss that when we get to the Pac-12.
But they do go to Michigan State as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge as well. And other than that, just a bunch of home cream puffs to get ready for the ACC.
Well, I think that's a pretty darn good schedule when it comes down to it, though, just because of the depth of the ACC. But Joby, once again, a ton of youth here in Duke, and it hasn't turned into, you know, didn't really help last year, despite what do they have, like half of the lottery was Duke players?
Yeah, no, it's a, I really like what I've seen out of Vernon Carey. They're going to be starting three freshmen again. Cassius Stanley, Carey, and Matthew Hurt are their likely starters. Trey Jones returning is always nice. You like having a point guard. I mentioned him as potential ACC Player of the Year. I'd take Wara because I think the Trey Jones hype is a little North Carolina bias, so he still might win it. He wasn't the best defensive player in the league last year. It drove me nuts whenever I saw that. And, you know, I said, he's not the best returning defensive player. Diakite is, to put in perspective. And Kihei Clark could go toe-to-toe, man-to-man. But returning point guard leadership, I think that will help propel, and he can run the floor with authority. It won't be R.J. Barrett taking stupid shots like he did against Michigan State. You know, the R.J. Barrett equivalent this year, Vernon Carey, will get, you know, will have someone on his rear end, you know, controlling the situation a little bit better so you don't see that. Now, I don't think Hurt and Carey and those people are Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett and Reddish levels. So that's why I'm not as big a believer in this Duke team as I was last year. But it's still going to be competing. I'll be shocked if it's not a protected seed team. I'll be shocked if it's not a two or seed or above team. But there's a reason. It's more I love Louisville than I hate Duke, but I do love Louisville more.
Yeah. And then there's another wild card to consider, and that Duke was also dealing with a bunch of injuries last year, but still managed to get a one seed and then was – walking on eggshells throughout the NCAA tournament.
And broken sneakers and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
David, about the Tar Heels? Are they up there in the ACC? Could they win the conference?
I mean, I suppose they could. I'm not as big on them as the media seem to be and the coaches seem to be. Not that I'm not big on them. By that, I mean I think that they're in the 3 or 4 range rather than on the top two lines. But I just think that they lost more than what they're replacing, and I have more questions about them than answers. They could turn out to be fantastic. I mean, that's certainly well within the realm of possibility when you look at their history. But when you look at Duke and the 5-star players they're bringing in, then they're looking at Louisville, who we already talked about, and you're looking at Virginia, who, while unproven, has a system in place that always seems to land them higher than where they start. I have less certainty about North Carolina than when compared to those other three. But do I still like them? Do I still think that they're way up 4-line, 5-line, or better? Yes.
Well, Joby, it all comes out to just how good Cole Anthony is.
Exactly. Is he Kobe White? I mean, that's really – I hate to make an unfair comparison, but is he Kobe White? And even if he is, which I don't know if he is, but we'll see. I mean, the hype around Cole Anthony has really gotten high. I mean, he is the preseason favorite for freshman of the year, and he is a one and done guy. And I think Bacote is going to be one and done as well. So it's interesting because Roy doesn't usually go with that. Roy's success is, think about the players Roy has really had success with: Luke May, Cam Johnson on grad transfer, etc. I don't know if this fits. I mean, they're going to be talented. They're going to be strong. They're going to be an NCAA team. I don't know if Roy's going to make the transition. It'd be great to see more returning players, and Garrison Brooks isn't it. more returning players of very high quality. You know, they do have Keeling, the transfer from Charleston Southern, who's probably going to start for him, who averaged close to 20 a game. It's Charleston Southern. You know, this isn't even Cam Johnson, who at least came from Pitt. You know, a bad Pitt team, but a Pitt team nonetheless. I'm kind of David where David is, but if Cole Anthony's, you know, the next coming, you know, of, you know, Jason Kidd, then okay. All right. Kidd with a shot, I might.
Let's kind of take a step below these top four teams, because I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that doesn't say that these four teams we've already discussed are the top four teams in the ACC. But if there's somebody else that's going to break the top four, who is the next level team? Stalika, let me start off with you. Who would be your next best team after those four we've discussed already?
I think we look at one of the usual suspects over the past couple of years, and that's going to be Florida State. Mm-hmm. They did lose quite a bit, but among some of their returning players, they're still going to have Trent Forrest. Mm-hmm. They're going to have MJ Walker, at least as two of their top contributors from last year. Also, Anthony Polite and Raekwon Gray are going to be a couple other guys that should help. This is a Florida State team that went to the Sweet 16 last year, also to the Elite Eight 2 years ago. And then this year, out of conference, they'll have their usual test at Florida. They'll be part of the Emerald Coast Classic, where they'll face Tennessee and either Purdue or VCU, depending on how things shake out. Their ACC Big Ten Challenge will be at Indiana. And also, they also have a landmine against South Florida, which is going to be in Miami this year. So, unlike past years, that's not a game you can take for granted.
David, you like that? You like Leonard Hamilton's team this year?
I do. Not as much as the four teams that we talked about, but one of the things about Florida State is they go so deep into their bench, you know, 10 deep, 11 deep, that when they do lose starters, as they did this year, they're replacing them, albeit not with starters, but with guys that saw quality minutes. So I think it's a much smoother transaction, and they are pretty talented. And I think we kind of got into this mindset that, oh, it's Florida State, where they were not as good as we thought that they should have been for so many years, that we kind of forget for the last 3 years they have been. You know, a protected seed 3 years ago, an Elite Eight 2 years ago, and a Sweet 16 last year. And all in spending a lot of time in the rankings over the last 3 years, this is a pretty good team that I think that almost subconsciously we and a lot of other people write off a lot of the time.
We do. And Joby, another team that did not make the NCAA tournament last year, but I think could be a tournament caliber team coming in. What about Kevin Keats's NC State?
Yeah, squad? They're my number five team. They return a lot. Mm-hmm. Torn Dorn's gone, but besides that, all the names you hear, like Braxton Beverly, Funderburk, Markel Johnson, remember that name. They return a ton of scoring, a lot of depth. What scares me about Florida State on the last one is their depth isn't on the inside what it usually is. Usually they're just rotating in these 7-footers. They're not going to be able to do that this year. Meanwhile, that's exactly what NC State's going to be able to do, you know, with their bench just coming in strong. And Keats needs that for the style of play he wants to run. I think Keats is making this team. Maybe they won't have the 352nd ranked out of conference schedule, you know, basically torpedoed their shot. Just don't play the MEAC. Play the MAC. You know, and you're fine. You know, they probably make the tournament last year. It really was that factor. And except for Auburn, you cannot justify that schedule last year. They're going to need to be able to do what they did not do last year, and that is knock off some of the top four or fellow people like a Florida State to be able to make the tournament, have those quality wins. But NC State is real. The question also is the cloud hanging over them from the NCAA.
Yeah, NC State, it's like a start of Studio Thunder here, but they do have Memphis and Wisconsin on the schedule, which is a little bit better than some of the stuff they scheduled in the past.
Tremendously better.
And then after those two games.
Two teams, whereas they had one last year.
Yeah, exactly.
They doubled their schedule.
And St. Francis, Brooklyn. Yeah.
But you're not mentioning the other games that are afterwards, because you also have a landmine where they go to Greensboro to take on the Spartans, who are going to be a favorite again in the SoCon, and then you have the aforementioned trip to Auburn.
Auburn, yes. But Stalik, actually, David, let me go to you here next. Beyond the teams we've mentioned so far, who would your next best team be, whether it's 4th, 5th, 6th,
7th? They're kind of a drop-off after that. The one team that I kind of have my eye on a little bit, and I realize that they were atrocious. I think they lost 8 of their last 9 or something about that. But this Notre Dame team who battled injuries last year and who didn't totally stink, just stunk a little bit all the way up until the last 10 games. With all 5 starters back, I'm willing to think that that was maybe an anomaly. I still like Mike Bray as a coach. I could see them being improved if for no other reason than all the experience they have coming back. But how do you, you know, if you want to say, what the hell are you talking about? You're crazy. Look at what they did at the end of the year. Yeah, look at what they did. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and actually, Dave, you stole my thunder there. I do like this Notre Dame team, and Joe, being a conference with so much youth in this league, Notre Dame coming in with a ton of veteran experience to the point that there is not even a freshman scholarship player on the roster.
Wow, I did not know that.
That's zero crazy player recruiting class for Mike Bray, which is very strange. But
and it's the interchangeable guys. Yeah, you know, it's all these – every single one of the returning players pretty much average between 7 and 14 points. It's not like, you know, it's a depends. Not the Bonzi Colson era, you know, where you basically have an ACC player of the year type carried and you have maybe a Vasturia or someone like supporting him or a Farrell or supporting him. It's a solid team. We'll see if they can break out, because there's another team that I would actually have slightly ahead.
And who's that?
That is the Q's.
The Q's.
Oh, so yeah, Stalika, they're returning a decent amount as well. You know, their best player is gone in battle, but they're returning. You know, I think Elijah Hughes is really good. Dolezal is a solid contributor on the court. And hey, Buddy Boeheim. No, who's his dad? Oh, no. Syracuse, I think, likewise, is returning a lot of talent and. I think they're going to be something to be reckoned with, an NCAA tournament level team. They are going to beat the top four, but I think they are. Well, they're going to be Syracuse. They're going to be on the bubble, and it'll be if they actually schedule worth the crap.
Stalika, do you think Syracuse gets there? Do you think they're an NCAA tournament team?
Well, I think Joby had stolen my thunder in that they're going to be hovering right around the bubble, which is where they seem to spend, what, 9 out of the last 10 years.
who else is in there then, John? If anybody, who else is either in or a bubble-ish type of team from the ACC that you might like?
I don't know about bubble-ish teams beyond this point, but one team I am intrigued by is going to be Virginia Tech, who's going to be hitting the reset button now that Mike Young has taken over for Buzz Williams.
Okay. I got to interject here for a second, David. A Sweet 16 team last year that I think we are discussing too early in this podcast.
they're not hitting the reset button, John. They're hitting the reboot button. They are reformatting their entire machine.
They've got an update installing on this reboot. It's going to be one of those ones that takes 2.5 days to run.
Yeah.
Let's put this way on Virginia Tech. I actually read something that, they're going to be better than you think because they're going to have so many really awesome freshmen. Hey, maybe these freshmen turn out – they're going to be starting 3 of them. Maybe they're going to be pretty good. But all I know, and this is – I will feel in my inner John Titel. 247 ranked them 101st, 278, and 237th in the country. Not
and the other thing is –
for everything, but that's not Cole Anthony.
Yeah,
but David, I got to throw out there though. Mike Young coming over from Wofford, where he did a hell of a job.
Hell of a job.
Can he do it? Can he rebuild it here?
I think he can. And when you look at what he did at Wofford at his time there, he built that program to the point to where it was a regular in the NCAA tournament. And last year, they were deservedly so ranked in the top 25 at the end of the year, and despite one of their best players having his worst game of the year, they were still right in there with Kentucky. But I had said for years, why isn't Mike Young ever a candidate for any of the bigger jobs? And then you kind of decided, well, maybe he likes Wofford. Maybe he's got a pretty good thing going and he's happy. And then he does get a big job at Virginia Tech, who's in complete reboot mode. And you wonder, why the hell didn't he take something else sooner? Why Virginia Tech? But it was fun, at least for me, having Virginia Tech be good at basketball the last 2 or 3 years, because they never really had been before, at least not the way that they were a year ago. The fan base was electrified. It was really exciting and fun from the outside looking in. I'd kind of like to see them maintain that. I think he can do it, but you have to be patient with him. I don't think he's going to do it this year, and it may not be next year either. This is going to be a below 500 team, I think, that just is going to have to learn to crawl before it walks.
Okay, let's run through the rest of the league here a little bit quicker. But Joby, let me throw one team over you. Miami with Chris Likes, who can score.
Love Chris Likes.
Any shot that's enough.
You know, yeah. I mean, we'll see if McGusty turns out as a good transfer. Keith Stone's coming in from Florida. I mean, Chris Likes is exciting. He will will a team to not be over in the conference, and you do have some other candidates for that job, including Virginia Tech, who we just spoke about. But those 3 points a game that Owens is returning as the only returning player is going to really suit the Hokies well.
And also keep an eye on Nizier Brooks, who's transferring from Cincinnati as well.
Yes, good call. Good call. But Miami, I think Miami is that middle of the road team. They might, sometimes that sleepy arena can poke off a win against a Virginia or a Duke or a North Carolina. So I won't say it can't be done when you have at least one player who's explosive. But remember, he is, like Kia Clark, little altitudinally challenged. So it's not like he can be just your sole scoring. It's, losing Azundu is on the insides in particular going to hurt them.
John, Danny Manning's squad at Wake Forest there. I think there's talent here, but I don't have any faith that they can win. Do you?
Oh, there's some talent. They also have some second generational players. When you look at Childress's son, and then you also have Sharon Wright Jr., the son of former Clemson standout Sharon Wright. But by the same token, is the clock starting to tick on Danny Manning and Wake Forest, because they seem to be treading water ever since they actually snuck into the first four a couple seasons ago?
Yeah, Wake Forest, a few years ago, I forget the exact year, Dino Gaudio, head coach, they were ranked number one at some point that season, earned a 4 seed. Next year went to the round of 32, and they fired him to hire Jeff Bezdelic. Great administrative decisions, one of the best ever, and they've basically been awful since. Good job, Wake.
David, what about Brad Brownell's Clemson Tigers?
Not much going on there. I think Brad Brownell, I like him as a coach. I think he does a good job, but I think they're at the bottom of their talent cycle, and it might take a year or two for it to build back up to where they're in the NCAA picture again.
I kind of agree with you there, but Joby, if we could look at anything, Jeff Capel over at Pitt?
I mean, he's returning actually some talent. Uh-huh. I mean, believe it or not. They found Xavier Johnson, Tim McGowan, both average double figures. I think that they will – I mean, we're not talking NCAA or even NIT, but I actually think they have a chance to rise above the dreck that we've kind of just been discussing.
Another quick thing about Pick Chat, Kevin Stallings still not involved with the team. That is a plus.
Kevin Stallings not involved with the team. Stalika, I know you wanted to discuss them. The Boston College Eagles, I'll just throw it to you. I don't know what to say.
I mean, they do have a couple notable people coming in.
Where's the buzzer?
Derek Thornton is.
My moment's gone. Yeah, right. Go ahead.
I'm talking about Makai Ashton Langford, who's going to be coming in from Providence. Does give him at least a little bit of scoring. But other than that, the only other player you may want to keep an eye on, Chris Heron Jr., who actually had a halfway decent season by freshman standards, but he alone is not going to be able to get the Eagles over the hump anytime soon.
Well, that's 14 out of 15 teams. That is all the teams that could possibly make the NCAA tournament. Joby, there is one other team in the conference. They've already they're already off our survival board.
Oh my God.
And Josh Pastner and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Is there anything we need to discuss about them?
They're going to actually win some games is okay. the problem. Yeah, it'd be one thing if it really was like Boston College, you know, from a few years back that went winless, or Pitt. This team can win games, and they're going to be a pain in the tail because I think it's – they're going to – maybe they go through the motions out of conference and they're – and they actually do something in. I mean, they're returning a lot of starters, you know, off a team that wasn't that very good, but they were – they got six wins in the ACC. They could win more this year. They could win seven or eight, and it's like – I don't think they will. I think 6-12 is probably a good landing spot, but the six is going to not just be Boston College, you know, a couple of times.
It'll also be Wake and Virginia Tech, right?
It's going to be the type of loss an NC State cannot afford. It's going to be the type of loss a Notre Dame cannot afford because they have enough talent to do that.
Well, let me kind of run through each of you here. I think that we've gone through all the teams, but I want to ask each of you, who do you think, although we've answered this a little bit already, who do you think wins the ACC regular season title? And then second, how many bids does this conference get at the end of the day? And Stalika, let me start with you on that question.
Well, you could probably tell by my hesitation that my number is going to be lower this year compared to past years. I'm going to say seven teams end up getting in. I would say for sure Duke, Louisville, North Carolina, and Virginia. I would say Florida State and NC State more likely than not. And I'll say a coin flip between Syracuse and Notre Dame for the seventh spot.
And who's your champion?
I'm going to take Duke to win the conference.
Duke to win the conference. So the other three of us all took Louisville to win the conference. But and Sliga, quite honestly, I agree with you dead on that it's seven bids and it's those – of those eight teams, it's seven of those eight, and I like that. It's either Notre Dame or Syracuse for that seventh spot. But, David, what do you think about how many teams are getting in?
I guess 6.5. Like, I'm going with the top four, that like the big three or big four, Louisville, North Carolina, Duke, and Virginia. I also like Florida State a lot. I like NC State. And then I could see Syracuse maybe squeezing in as a seventh, being sort of a controversial selection, and then advancing to the Final Four.
that would be a typical year. Joby, what do you think of that same question?
Yeah, I'm going with David 6.5, but I think Syracuse is actually in. The half is my fifth place team, NC State. Does the NCAA come early and they self-sanction themselves?
That's always a question here. And obviously, you know, who knows what's going to be coming down here with the NCAA, although – so we also know if you just file an appeal of it, it'll take you a year and a half.
Yeah. And that's
if
why
not 10 years
it probably
if you're
shouldn't
North
be
Carolina.
6.5. It should be probably 6.75. So.
but let me run through any of their final thoughts about the ACC. Joby, let me start with you. Any other final thoughts on the ACC this season?
I think John was hitting at it. I think it's going to be very much a have and have nots. Last year, you know, with Clemson, NC State barely missing out, Syracuse kind of barely getting in. You know, the middle was something to talk about at the ACC. Yeah, Syracuse is probably going to be the middle again. I actually think and Florida State, I think, might fall down into the second and be wearing dark jerseys. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's going to be very have and have nots, those top four. And you're going to have like five or six teams really struggle and beat up on each other to make themselves look good. But out of conference, you'll see the have and have nots more disparate. It won't just be it or just Boston College.
Sleeka.
Well, I think we haven't hinted on it yet during the podcast, but this is going to be the debut year for the ACC network as well. So keep an eye on them throughout the season. And also,
unless you have Comcast and can't get it, but go ahead.
Or you could be on Spectrum in my neighborhood and actually have to pay a little extra in order to get it. But we'll have it just in time for the season opener. And unlike years past, we're not going to have to worry about a team like Boston College being in first place for the first month and a half.
David, why don't you finish us off here?
I guess that if I'll go ahead and mention this now, since it impacted Georgia Tech and it might impact NC State, I'm really not a fan of after July 1st sanctions being imposed that affect the team for this year for two reasons. One, I think it's unfair to the players that are there now. I would kind of like to see them get to play in a postseason, an NCAA tournament, and then transfer after the year. But two, I think it's less. It actually punishes the school even less. They don't miss out on a recruiting class. And in the case of Georgia Tech, it's sort of like saying to me, you're not allowed to win the lottery this week. They probably weren't going to go to the NCAA tournament anyway. But why not? I don't like the idea that a school can self-impose a ban to get out of a future ban and miss out and not have to miss out on a recruiting class, while at the same time kind of stepping on the toes of the players that are there. And I don't like it when the NCAA does it either. Why didn't they just say for the 2021 season, that's when your ban is?
I think that's a great point. Actually, I agree with you completely. I hate to agree with you, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, and if NC State comes out and says, well, we'll go ahead and self-oppose a ban, I would love for the NCAA to say, well, you can do that if you want to, but you're still banned next year.
That's my own theory of any team that's clearly not going to make the NCAA tournament around March 1st should just self-impose a ban just in case they find anything wrong.
Yeah.
On that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us for this ACC preview podcast. On behalf of Joby Fortson, David Griggs, John Stalica, I'm Chad Sherwood. We're going to be back with a lot more preseason content coming up real soon.
Woohoo!